This is Sports Sunday.
I don't know if I've ever really weaponized the word horse bleep, but I feel like it's a good evolution that you're expecting bull bleep. No, not this one. Nay, even.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Beards just gave me two big thumbs up for how good that joke was. Thank you, Beards, for your support.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
More Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810 after hearing a lot of stuff from the Chiefs there over the course of the last hour or so. Some interesting stuff from everybody the whole way through. I think the Watkins stuff is probably the most interesting little snippet throughout all that, if you missed any of it. But you can all grab it on the Sports Radio 810 podcast page. If you go to 810WHB.com, the 810 mobile app, you can check all that out there. We will be here for another half hour. We'll have Darren Smith in studio with us momentarily before he takes over with sports. With the ship. This is Sports Sunday. With Sports Sunday Noon.
The after show.
With Sports Sunday, the post after show. Well, the post after show is actually after the ship. It's Sports Sunday now. The ship starts with Darren Smith here in half an hour. You might have heard him a couple times on the Chiefs presser call there, so I imagine he'll have some sound to play if you missed any of that. And some interesting stuff to look at there. And then the PGA Championship continues starting at 2 o'clock right as the ship wraps up today. So there is your rundown for the remainder of the 810 side of things. Also at 2, Spurs Nuggets begins on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. Beards, do we have a ruling on baseball today on ESPN Kansas
City?
No baseball. All right. Spurs Nuggets at 2 o'clock on ESPN Kansas City.
Baseball can't get its bleep together, so no baseball for us.
That's fair. It feels like, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just being in St. Louis instead of being in Miami, but it feels like the Cardinals' whole issue right now has been a little bit less mainstream. Maybe there's other more interesting stuff going on now than
was. It's because it's the second one.
That's also fair.
Everybody knew that Rudy Gobert was the first NBA player that tested positive. Nobody said anything about Donovan Mitchell being the second one.
Well, that's not true because Rudy Gobert spat on him and said, here, have this COVID. Don't look at me like that, Darren. We will have Darren officially in here in 15 minutes, but all the Chiefs audio is saved in the Chiefs folder if you want to go cut any of it up, Darren. There's your public announcement. You're welcome. So we'll have Darren back in here in 15 minutes or so, and get you ready for what's up next. There wasn't a ton of stuff that I feel like really especially excited about diving into because we're kind of at this weird point where the guys are out there, but nothing's really changing yet, and we haven't gotten to see any pressers, or we haven't gotten to see any practice, and so we're all kind of guessing. I will be very interested to see what L'Jarius Sneed looks like whenever they do start some offense versus defense action, and I'll be interested to see, like, if we even get to see that, I suppose. Sneed, I would say that Watkins had the most interesting presser there with, again, some of the contract stuff. And that was honestly also a theme throughout that article that everyone was referring to from Tyler Dunn and Bleacher Report, was that it did seem like there were kind of some swings in his off-season attitude, if you will. And the Chiefs did also just tweet out a link just now about voting again, which you also heard several people continuing to ask about, because it did get kind of quiet there for a minute in terms of the voter registration drive they talked about putting on. It obviously didn't get done before the Kansas and Missouri primaries, but it sounds like they're working on that right now, and they are partnered with Rise to Vote, an initiative that partners with sports teams, leagues, and athletes to improve civic engagement in our country. So there's that. They just tweeted that out from the Chiefs' official Twitter account. The one thing that, again, I'll say about most interesting maybe players speaking from there, just that we haven't heard much from Sneed, and I'll be really interested to see what his ramp-up looks like. Because last year, we eventually got to a point where Rashad Fenton just, you stopped worrying about him. And look, corner is an incredibly volatile position on a year-to-year basis. It's up and down. You can have a guy who looked excellent disappear, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, you know, what? I don't even have like a good name for you because it happens so commonly. Whenever you just sort of go about your business as a corner, it means you have good games and bad games, good years and bad years. You have interceptions that are huge, you get burnt. You might not get thrown at for a couple of weeks, and then you get picked on the next week. Like, that's the nature of the position, and it's the nature of offenses being different in how they choose to attack you. So it's always a little bit scary. But for the Chiefs right now, that position group is just so clearly the one that's most up in the air. Maybe linebacker next, but I mean, they added Willie Gay and lost Reggie Ragland. I mean, that's not a 1-to-1 ratio, but it's simple enough. You know what you hope to see from Willie Gay, but if he's only Reggie Ragland next year, then fine. I didn't like the Willie Gay to Reggie Ragland comp very much, and then Spags kept comparing the two of them, so what do I know, I guess. But specifically at corner, I think you can have a series of concerns. With Breland, I think we pretty much know what he is, and I'm good with that. Like, I just if the team that I'm rooting for always has one Bashaud Breland, I'm great with it. You would love to have a guy that, like, turns the ball over more, or who is a shut-down corner in the more traditional terms. But Bashaud Breland is an excellent second corner to have. The problem is, probably isn't going to be out there all season. Probably going to miss the first few games. 4 seems pretty likely. Maybe it gets lowered. Opposite him, you have Tre'Varius Ward, who we heard from a couple days ago. I really like Tre'Varius Ward. I feel like a lot of people ended up on the Tre'Varius Ward bandwagon pretty early, and I was there with that first little bandwagon jump, and there's a bunch of people that was true for. But it makes sense. He looks like an NFL corner. His biggest issue for a while was getting his head around, and then he got better at that. And he also, like, never could see the ball until it was in his face because his eyes weren't very good. He got LASIK this offseason. And now he says he's focusing on trying to, you know, go up for the ball with both hands. And he's going to be able to see the ball from farther away. I buy Ward as a legit starting corner. I don't know if Sterling Holmes just texted me. I was first on the Ward train, sir. He wasn't. Don't text me during this show. Bleep off, Sterling. Sterling was there early. He was on that first bandwagon jump with a bunch of others. I think Sam Mellinger was there early. It's good company. I don't think anyone gets to say they were first, though, because unless you saw him in Dallas and you're like, yeah, I'm watching him practice in Dallas and I think this guy's the truth. Regardless, though, fights for credit notwithstanding, I think I am personally optimistic because of the fact that he could not get his head around and then did. And also that he, like, can't see very well or couldn't see very well, and now he can. Those are good things to see in the progression of a young player. But is he going to be, like, a number one lockdown guy? Maybe. That's his goal. We'll see. But whenever Bashaud Breland's out there, then what happens? Okay, well, you have Rashad Fenton. He stepped in towards the end last year, played really well, didn't ever seem like he was getting picked on, was never just a dude who got burnt 3 consecutive plays. It worked out fine. I think that's in part because of the safety help behind him, and I think it's in part because of the pass rush in front of him. But that's the structure of this defense. So if you can use the guys in front of you and the guys behind you, and you can just be good in the middle, then that's what they're asking you to do here. And what Spags has been so good at is taking these guys that are lower picks but have some traits that he really likes, and then they develop into more, like, polished, well-rounded corners. That's if that's the system and it's working, great. You love to see it. But both on Fenton and a little bit for Ward, you worry about volatility just because it's such a volatile position. The guys that are worth paying are the ones that aren't up and down because that consistency is expensive. You just know that guy is always gonna be great, and he's always going to be him. And I don't even mean, like, consistent in a way. I mean consistent in a way that Marcus Peters would have qualified for the record. Like, he is volatile on a play-to-play basis, but he's the same dude. Like, he's got the same mindset the whole time, which is I'm going to get burnt some and I'm going to pick the ball off a lot. And I think that's really, really valuable. But even, like, Jalen Ramsey's had some moments of a little bit of volatility. It's a really, really difficult position, especially as offenses keep getting better and guys keep getting faster and everything keeps improving. On the offensive side, it's a hard thing to keep up with. But L'Jarius Sneed, what I'm going to be interested in, there was a time during OTAs last year, whenever we could, like, be there for OTAs, and OTAs were happening in person, when I saw Ward off to the side, he was working with a coach, and the coach was literally, like, popping him in the pads and then, like, looking over his shoulder. It's sort of like they were straight up doing, like, work, like, footwork and then trying to track the ball. It's the exact sort of thing that that we all worried about with Tre'Varius Ward for a while. And then I looked closer over there and, oh, that's Spags. That wasn't Sam Madison or any of the other, like, assistant coaches or whatever, which I sort of expected to be one of the position coaches. Spags was over there showing, hey, this is, look, this. See how my head's turning away? Look at my head moving backwards. Find the ball. And I'm kind of bought in on the Spags school of cornerbacking. And if you told me that either, you know, L'Jarius Sneed or Bo Pete Keys, Keys was the guy they traded back into the seventh round to get, I think he's got a lot of similar traits and a similar build to Sneed. I don't know if they think Sneed is closer to being ready or what, but if you told me that one of those two dudes turns into a legit corner this year, I would believe you. But if you told me that Fenton and Sneed and Keys and maybe even to some extent Ward all get targeted a little bit more and picked on a little bit, I would also believe you there, because it is a position that is constantly just thrown into the air and you see where it falls. But if you do believe in that volatility, it also kind of makes sense not to pay anyone who's not completely elite at it. Also, for Ward, by the way, he's a restricted free agent after this year. But if he is, you know, if he takes another step forward this year, this offseason, he might be a guy the Chiefs try to retain. The issue is, this came up in the conversation with Greg Bishop of SI earlier, eventually you do run out of some of the money. Like, I think that the salary cap is remarkably flexible and in some cases just fake. I'm here for that take. It's very malleable, but you can't pay literally everyone. And so I'm not sure what side Ward will be on that, given what we've learned about their tendencies up to this point. I think it'll be interesting. We will take a break here on Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810. Whenever we come back, Darren Smith will join us before he takes over with the ship. That's about 15 minutes. On the side of the break, though, we'll talk to Darren about what he saw, what he heard, what he asked in the Chiefs press conferences today. That's next.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
I welcome you to think that I'm an idiot. That's great. Often, you'll be correct. Usually, you'll be wrong. But you'll be correct often enough. That's fine. I'm prepared for that. Call in and call me a dope.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last segment of Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810. Darren Smith of the ship in studio with us here for the next 10 minutes or so before we hand it over to him full-time. The ship begins at noon, and then at 2, the PGA Championship continues here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. How'd you feel at the press conference, Darren? You're out there asking questions, making moves, getting information. Reporter on the front lines, Darren Smith.
It's funny when you say out there of like I'm just in the other studio.
You were out there on the front lines of Zoom in this building.
Look, it's interesting. It's always you have to kind of. I have to do some pre-negotiations with Chiefs PR every now and then if I feel like I need to get a question in.
Bribe them a little bit, or monetary bribes.
Or just to show them, like, hey, I'm not going to ask you any gotcha questions, so to speak.
Right.
I'm not going to ask you, is Andy Reid voting for Donald Trump? I'm not going to ask any question like that.
What if you did, though? Your Zoom connection would mysteriously disconnect.
Look, November 30 got it yet. Now you got at least.
You're not gonna. They're
it.
Listening right now. You're not gonna get another question in
know,
until
right?
after the election.
November 4th.
Yeah, November.
It's gonna take like a whole slab of ribs.
You see, I don't know. You could take the entire Chiefs organization to Gates, and I don't think that. Thanks for the barbecue, Darren. You're never asking another question ever again.
Yeah, that's probably.
Why do you want to be in trouble so bad?
Well, first of all, well, no, here's the thing. In all honesty, I ask the questions that they want to ask, but they're too afraid to ask. And look, I'm probably going to get in trouble for the media that is listening right now, but a lot of them ask the same generic questions that just like, really? Like, you all are wasting our time for that type of question? And I ain't going to call nobody out in particular, but...
Can I do the opposite of a call out?
Sure.
Adam Teicher tried so hard to get Sammy Watkins to talk about the World War III thing.
Oh,
he went in twice. I was like, Adam, you're so close. No, he didn't give it to you. I was laughing listening to it because, like, Watkins... I don't know if Watkins straight up forgot
that he used that
terminology.
Trust me. Well, no, he knew, but look, what I like about Watkins, Watkins answered the second question, right? It's like, all right, if we go to the next question, hold on, Sammy. Hold on, but the thing was, the Chiefs PR did mute Adam so he could go also.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what about the first question?
Well, okay, but so same as the first question about World War III. It's like, I'm trying to get back to football. I was like, exactly. But you did say, all right, fine.
Oh, man. Hey,
anyway.
Those are some of the adventures that we have on these Zoom phone calls.
It's fun, too.
And look, and it's funny because speaking about Sammy, I thought, and the reason why I followed up, after what Steven asked was because I know that he's leading the voter registration charge down in Florida, so
yeah.
I want him to talk, just more about what he's doing in it. So, but the fact that he didn't really touch on it anymore was like, okay. Now he says he's a deep thinker, so I'm gonna let that go. But I'm like, you wasn't that deep enough to follow up on something that you're actually doing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'll get him another time to talk about it.
Something that popped up while the pressers were happening is that Draymond Green got fined $50,000 for tampering with Devin Booker. He said on TNT that someone needs to get him out of Phoenix. First of all, I'm a Suns fan, so I'm putting that out there. Everyone knows where I'm coming from on this, all right, just to be clear. Second of all, is there a ton of tampering happening within the bubble right now? 100,000% yes, absolutely.
Of course.
Here's the thing. Draymond can tamper with Devin Booker if he wants. He just has to be good enough to get into the bubble, and Draymond isn't. So I don't want to hear Draymond Green telling me where Devin Booker needs to be saved from.
But I'm curious, though.
Go and get him out of Golden State.
But I'm curious, though, because...
Another bleeper.
Because you don't really hear about players being tampered because they can communicate all the time.
Right.
But was he being fined because of his role as an analyst on TNT at that time? Or?
I think saying that publicly also. Yeah, that'd be my guess, right?
I mean, but players do it all the time via Twitter and stuff like that. Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson would get fined for him because he was an owner, GM type thing versus a player.
The press release says the fine is in response to statements Green made as an analyst on TNT.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that's probably it. I also saw very good tweets about this
now.
From you nailed it. I feel very good about this tweet. I can't make this joke, but at Shrieky Shooter on Twitter said Draymond played like half a season with Dragon Bender and Marquise Chris and was like, all right, yeah, no one should have to go through this for as long as Devin Booker did.
First of all, the funniest tweet, and I don't care too much about what Charles Barkley said, was when he said that Draymond Green averaged a triple single. To me, that is just the ultimate intro. I mean,
that's good.
That's without Clay. That's without Steph. Like, you averaged a triple single.
Yeah, a triple single. That's very, very good. I also looked up. I searched in Twitter the phrase Draymond Dragon Bender because I wanted to get the joke right on him playing with Dragon Bender, which is again like. Draymond had to live Booker's life for half a season. It was like, no, this is a nightmare. I gotta get out of here. But it also popped up a tweet from 2016 from NBA on ESPN. According to Chad Ford, Dragon Bender could be a, quote, bigger Draymond Green without the mean streak. He was not. Dragon Bender was not a bigger Draymond Green without the mean streak. He was Draymond Green without the good streak.
Wow.
Sorry. This is a show where we openly slander Dragon Bender frequently. It might be the best name in the history of sports, though.
Yeah, I think Air, though, was the most profitable.
Airbender, you're right, 100%.
Well, I meant Michael Air Jordan.
Oh, okay. It's not his name. I'm saying if you took, listen, if you totally dissociated the careers of these guys, and you said the greatest, here, I'll give you the greatest basketball player that played before LeBron did, and I'll give you the second greatest basketball player of all time, and I'll give you a total bust that floundered around with the Suns for a little bit. One of their names is Dragon Bender, and one of their names is Michael Jordan. you knew a Mike Jordan. Hello, teacher. My name is Michael Jordan, and you actually forgot to ask for the essays that we worked on all weekend, and mine is done, of course. I'm Michael Jordan, and then Dragon Bender has the logo.
He comes in, kicks open the door.
Yeah,
he comes in late. He just slinks down.
He puts the teacher into a chokehold.
Nah, I didn't do my homework.
He chokeslams the teacher and then goes and puts up 40. Dragon Bender is a cooler name than Michael Jordan.
There's no argument on what's a cooler name. I just said Air was just more profitable. That's all I said.
I'd buy some Air Dragons. Some Air Benders is its whole thing. It's the Avatar the TV show. Anyway, what's on the ship today?
I got Steve Walls, Michael Coleman, Brad Porter, and Sterling. Of course, we're going to talk about a little bit about the press conference that we just did. Also, look, this would have been the official start of the NFL with the Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame induction. So, what I put out there for them is I want them to come up with a list of players, coaches, or whoever that you think should be in the Hall of Fame that's not. Obviously, we'll all probably have Otis Taylor at the very top of our list from the Kansas City Chiefs, and the fact that Andy Reid didn't address that was kind of But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NBA in the second hour, and then we'll talk about whether or not we actually need a downtown stadium.
Oh, interesting. Okay, very good. I thought you were going to get Andy Reid to at least talk about Hall of Fame coaches because he kind of walked in that direction. Like, listen, there are some coaches. Yeah. And I thought maybe he was going to just say, like, here are some disrespected, underrated coaches that I'll actually give you the answers to.
George Seifert.
And he didn't. He did not give you a single. I only gave you a single name. Yeah. Andy Reid, I'll tell you what, man. Andy Reid's evasive. He is agile in that pocket.
Hold on. The only time Andy Reid will answer questions is post Super Bowl win when he got nothing to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Tom, that's a good suit.
I'm picking my. Here's my cheeseburger. Here's my side order.
And I love that suit.
He did that too. The ship with Aaron Smith is next on Sports Radio 810. This has been Sports Sunday. Bye, Mom.